What does Maundy Thursday mean? Maundy comes from the Latin word mandatum, and it means commandment. And this is based on what Jesus said in John 13:34. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Jesus said this about 2,000 years ago. What does it mean for the church today? I want to share with you what it meant, what it means for the church in Ukraine. And this is an article from Christianity Today, with the title that ministers in Ukraine are ready to meet God at any moment. I want to tell you about a pastor called James, who, when the city of Kherson fell to the Russian, James and his wife opted to remain in the city with their family, and he had four young children. And he said, if we die together. They remember Russians shelling, shaking their fifth-floor apartment like a Jenga block. It was a difficult but obvious decision to stay, James said. We saw the despair in people's eyes. They couldn't see tomorrow. Who gives them hope if I run to America or Europe? For 3 weeks, they slept under the church stairs. About 300 people came to the church to find shelter in the church basement for months. People slept sitting up and in the men's restrooms. A family with an 8-year-old squeezed into a closet. Pastors say that some ministers who stayed were arrested and tortured. Others simply disappeared. Here's a testimony of another pastor called Pavel. He said that a day after the invasion of Kherson, his church took in 46 orphans ages 4 months to 4 years from local orphanages. For 2 months, the church housed the children in its basement. Church members helped feed, clean, and warm the kids, some of them who had special needs and needed round-the-clock care. Volunteers spread throughout the city, queuing for hours to get medicine and milk and other baby supplies for the church orphans. But then a week before Easter, meaning about a year ago, a uniformed Russian official appeared at his church with armed soldiers and gave him two options. Either let the Russian army take the children away so to so-called shelter them, or they would do it by force. So the pastor had no choice and let the Russian soldiers take the children. He said a picture of him soon appeared on Russian television, accusing him of being a child trafficker and the Russians soldiers rescuing the children. He knew his life was under threat. And only because of that, he said he took himself and his family had to go, leave the city and go find hiding until it was safe to come back. But let me conclude these testimony with what they continue to say. Despite losing congregations and ministers, Ukrainian church leaders say they are seeing more unbelievers entering their doors than ever before. They said that one church said that in his service, about 20 to 40 newcomers would come forward when there is an altar call. As people have this urgent sense of need, and where do they find help? In a group of people who showed them the love of Christ. This is the new commandment being exemplified in Ukraine today. What might God be calling you to do? We thank God that we live in Singapore and that our life, our community is not under threat. How much more we need to be keeping this commandment? So let's take a closer look at the text. Jesus said, I give you a new commandment that you should love one another. What's so new about this commandment? Actually, as an Old Testament scholar, this commandment was already found in Leviticus 19. In fact, Jesus quoted it, where he said, what is the first and second greatest commandment? The second is to love your neighbor as yourself. So it's an old commandment. But what makes it new is the next part, where Jesus said, just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. Let me unpack this word, just as, a little bit more. This is in Greek, katos. What does katos mean? Well, the normal meaning is as much as. Love one another as much as I have loved you. In other words, Jesus has set us the example. Jesus has given you the pattern. But another meaning for katos is in as much as. Or in other words, because. And this means that Jesus is saying that he is the one who enables us, who empowers us to love one another, even as he has loved us. Jesus has given us the power to obey this commandment. So let's look at the first point. Love one another because Jesus has given you the pattern. In 3:15, Jesus said, I have set you an example that you should do as I myself. And here I want to emphasize that the Greek word for I is ego, which is very emphatic. It says, that's why I translate it as I myself have done it for you. Do you know that foot washing is actually quite common practice in Jesus' time? It is not the act itself that is unusual. It is who performed the act. In ancient time, it was common for wives to wash the feet of husbands, for children to wash the feet of their parents, even for a host to wash the feet of a VVIP, probably just a VVIP, the very, very important person. Normally, the foot washing will be left to the slaves and the lowest of slaves, not Jewish slaves, Gentile slaves, non-Jewish slaves. You know, rabbi teachers stress a lot on humility. So they would, demonstrate that humility. And they would eat with their servants. They would share meals with their disciples and their slaves. But there's no record of them washing feet. Let me give you a local example. This is about the Good Samaritan who won the very first award when it was started by the Straits Times, the Singaporean of the Year Award in 2015. The winner was Noraiza A. Mansour. What did she do? She was just a bedsheet promoter at Toa Payoh supermarket. Then she noticed that an elderly man was pushing his wife in a wheelchair to purchase groceries. And as he did so, he unfortunately couldn't control his bowels and he soiled himself. She saw other customers recoil from him because of the stench. But what did she do? She took some tissue, she ran to him, she wiped him off, and even bought a new shorts for him. And that's not even the end of the story, because after that, she would go and visit this elderly couple who then moved into a nursing home. Can you imagine that what Jesus would have done? Not just washing dirt, but washing feces as well, if needed. And what is amazing when we think about what Jesus has done, one more time, it is not just a normal human being doing this, but the divine Lord himself. And this is emphasized again when in 13:14, Jesus said, "If I myself, ego, have washed your feet, and I am your Lord, Kurios." I want to highlight that because Kurios is also a title for the divine God, your Lord and teacher. You also ought to wash one another's feet. Jesus isn't just a good Samaritan, but the sovereign creator. Jesus was not just a rabbi, but the ruler of all. He was not just any human, but the King of heaven, who stooped to be your servant and my servant, every one of us, to be a servant of all. So Jesus set us a pattern. We know what we should do, but can we do it? What will enable you to do it? Especially someone you don't like, especially your enemy. Do you know that when Jesus went around washing feet, that included Judas Iscariot? And Jesus knew what Judas was going to do, betray him, kill him. And yet he washed Judas' feet. Can you do that? So let me come to my second point. Love one another, because Jesus has given you the power of his love to do so. What does washing feet mean in John 13? Jesus made this very unusual statement. You know, when he was washing his disciples' feet and Peter was like, no, don't wash my feet because this is against social custom. And then Jesus made this very unusual statement. If I do not wash you, you have no share in me. What does that mean? This means that Jesus' act of washing feet is actually symbolic. It is symbolic of his death on the cross for our salvation. Because it is his death that truly washes us from sin and makes us clean. And therefore, if we don't come to him by faith, to let him wash our feet, to receive his salvation, then we have no share in him. That this is what Jesus meant is hinted at already at the very beginning of the chapter, where they talk, it was the time of the Passover. And we know that Jesus is the Passover lamb who was slain for us. This And his death is actually also foreshadowed by this two very unusual verse. In chapter 13, verses 4 and 12, Jesus said, it was said that he laid aside his robe, then he washed his disciples' feet, and then verse 12, he put on his robe. Why bother to tell us these details? John is a very careful gospel writer. And every detail points towards something. Because in John chapter 10, Jesus himself said, "I lay down my life by my own power. Nobody takes it from me. And I will put on, I will take up my life again." Same words. This points to the act of washing feet as Jesus dying on the cross for our salvation. And it's only by doing so, when we come to him, that we can share in his life. In the next chapter, John 14, this is what Jesus continues saying, that he has given us the Holy Spirit to live in us and to help us live for him. And then in John chapter 15, Jesus said, "We are the branches. He is the vine. Unless we are in him and remain in him, we cannot bear fruit. We will die. So again, the act of feet washing is an invitation to come to Jesus, to receive his salvation, to be part of him. Well, we know Peter didn't get it because he said, "Lord, in that case, wash my head and my hands as well. I want more of you." He thought it would make him more clean, more part of Jesus. But he didn't really get what Jesus was saying. So Jesus had to explain to him in verse 10, "One who has bathed does not need to wash." And usually at a dinner setting, guests would bathe themselves first before they come to dinner. Except for the feet, but it's entirely clean. So he's saying that this is not about physical cleansing. This is about something much more, deeper meaning. One implication of this, that to be wholly, fully, truly cleansed, all we need to do is receive Jesus' salvation. We don't have to be like Peter. I need to be more cleansed. I need to be more holy. I need to do more holy things. I need to read the Bible more. I need to pray more. I need to do more good works. If we think that, we are like Peter. There's nothing more you and I need to do. There was nothing more that Peter needed to do. But let Jesus wash your feet. Receive his salvation. Receive his life. And even though Judas was unclean, because Jesus knew this, and you are clean, though not all of you, he still washed Judas' feet. But Jesus knew that in his heart, it was like Jesus offering salvation to Judas, but in his heart, we know Judas was unrepentant. Instead of following Jesus, he turned against Jesus. And he had to face the consequences of that later on. But Peter, by contrast, we know that he failed Jesus too. He denied Jesus. But at the end of it all, he repented and he turned back to Jesus and was restored. That is all you and I need to do. Come to Jesus. Ask him for forgiveness. It is freely available. It's never too late to turn to the love of God. And when you receive his love, well, my brothers and sisters, you will receive his life and his power to love others, even your worst enemy. Let me end with this testimony of a lady that I once counseled. After I preached at the church, she came up to me, along with others, and asked, "Pastor, please pray for me." I happily did so and asked, "What would you like me to pray for you?" But she wouldn't tell me. She said, "Just pray for me, just pray for me." So as I was praying for her, and I asked the Lord, "What do you want me to pray for her?" And the idea of the Samaritan woman just came to my mind. So I asked her, "Do you know about the Samaritan woman in the Bible?" And she said, "Yes." And then I said, "Does it mean anything to you?" And then she started to tear and cry and nodded her head. And when she could talk, she explained to me that she is like the Samaritan woman because she has been going from one relationship to another, to another, to another. And then she told me why. Because, you see, she was the unexpected and therefore unwanted child in her family. Her older siblings were more than 10 years older than her. And when she was the surprise child, they had her, but they didn't really want her. So she said she felt so neglected, so abuse, so unwanted in her family as she was growing up. The mother would make her do all the housework and criticize her. The mother would save the best dishes for her older siblings and give her the leftovers. The mother would give money to the older sibling but expect pocket money from her. So she wanted to get out of that house as quickly as she could. And that was why she kept going from one man to another to find love. But she couldn't. So I prayed with her that she might find the healing love of God, because that is the love that we need that can truly heal us and fill our need. And she prayed with me. She did. As I followed up with her another time, she told me more about her mom. She said, "You know, we're supposed to love one another, right? But don't tell me to love my mom. She's impossible. Every time I go back, she just nag at me and criticize me. You tell me, how can I love my mom?" And I said this to her. I said, "Yeah, it is impossible. If I were you, I would find it impossible too. But you know, we're not supposed to love our enemies with our own love, because we already know it's impossible. We can only love with God's love." And I said, "When you go back and see your mother the next time, you look at the cross. You look at Christ. You look at God and ask Him to love your mother with His love." So she said to me, rather doubtfully, "Okay, I try." Another week later, she came back. And I said, "What happened?" And then she said, "The most unusual thing happened." And she told me what it was. When she went back, the mother did the usual things, scolded her, criticized her, you know, and the mother was saying something like, "You know, I work so hard at home, nobody takes care of me, I have aching shoulders, nobody cares." And then she said, she found herself saying this to her own surprise. "Okay, mom, you sit down, I give you a massage." And she was massaging her mom, both in silence. She could do what was impossible by our own human strength, but only what is possible when we look to Jesus and His love on the cross. The sacrifice of the servant king that enable us to serve even our own worst enemies. You know, as I was preparing this sermon, oh, God convicted me too, because He brought to mind some people that had been giving me a hard time, that spoke badly about me behind my back. And I've been praying and praying about it, and I've committed it to God. But this time, I felt God asking me, "Can you bless them in love?" Let me make a distinction here. He didn't ask me to forgive them, because if they've done wrong, He'll take care of the consequences until they repent. But He asked me, "Can I love them just like Jesus washed the feet of this side of Judas? Can I say a prayer to bless them?" And I was so convicted that I think that was the first time that I could pray for them and bless them freely, sincerely, not grudgingly, because He gave me the power to love. Who does Jesus call you to love? Who comes to mind right now? Someone who have a need? Someone that you dislike? Difficult boss, difficult colleagues, difficult family members? What is He calling you to do for them? Let's begin with prayer. Jesus has given you the pattern and the power for sacrificial love. Let's turn to him now in prayer. Lord, we ask that you come and speak to each one of us seated here this evening. Or whoever may be seated at home watching this on live stream, because you are there to touch their hearts as well. Show us who you want us to love, even if it's a very difficult person, and give us the power to do so. Brothers and sisters, can I invite you right now in an attitude of prayer to pray for the person that God has brought to your mind? Ask Jesus to give you the power to love them. But if there are some of you seated here this evening, if you don't yet know the love of God, then Jesus wants to invite you tonight, this very hour, to receive his love, to receive his salvation on the cross, to let him wash your feet. No matter how dirty it may be, no matter how far you may have wandered from God, no matter how much of a sinner you may be, all you need to do right now to say a prayer in your heart to God. Lord, I am a sinner, and I need your cleansing and salvation. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner, and I need your cleansing and salvation. Lord, for every prayer that was offered to you this evening, right now, you hear them all. You hear every prayer, every man, every woman, every child seated here. And I ask, Lord Jesus, in your name, would you fill each one with your unconditional love, with your enabling power to love, and with your unconditional salvation. Commit all of us into your hands, Lord Jesus. Amen.